What did the events of The Lord of the Rings seem like from Galadriel's perspective? Did she just stay in Lothlórien, or was she somehow pulling the strings behind the scenes? Hi everyone, this is Robert. Welcome to In Deep Geek. If you like theories, background, history and lore about The Lord of the Rings, A Song of Ice and Fire and The Witcher, this is the place for you. Welcome. For the vast majority of The Lord of the Rings, Galadriel stays in one place, Lothlórien. And even when the Fellowship arrives there, she is very clear about the limits of her help. She says, "Not in doing or contriving, nor in choosing between this course and another can I avail, but only in knowing what was and is, and in part also what shall be." So she may give them useful information, and she certainly gives them shelter and useful gifts, but she won't do anything, or even advise them on what they should do. Now, it is not for me to contradict the Lady of Lothlórien, but I think she is rather underselling herself here, because her role in the build-up to The Lord of the Rings and during the story is really quite significant. Galadriel and Celeborn's rule of Lothlórien was, by elf standards, a relatively recent development, starting at just over 1,000 years before the events of The Lord of the Rings. And although Celeborn was also born to nobility, it's clear that the driving force here was Galadriel. Ruling a land of her own was one of Galadriel's life ambitions. We're told that, as early as her time back in Valinor, she had dreams of far lands and dominions that might be her own, to order as she would, without tutelage. She wanted to rule a land, and now, finally, thousands of years later, she was ruling. And as you might expect after such a long build-up, she took it seriously. As well she might. Sauron was just to the east in Dol Guldur, southern Mirkwood, until he relocated to Mordor, and just to the west were the Misty Mountains, filled with goblins and wargs and worse. And Lórien itself was not a mighty fortress or particularly defendable position, it was a forest. So, yes, her focus was very much on protecting her people, and that meant, in the main, staying at home. It's never spelt out explicitly, but the defences Lothlórien had seem very similar to those around Doriath in the First Age, which makes sense because Doriath's defences, the renowned Girdle of Doriath, a fence of enchantment around the land that prevented access to the uninvited, were made and sustained by Melian the Maiar, Queen of Doriath. And Melian the Maiar spent a lot of time talking to and sharing her knowledge and lore with Galadriel in the First Age. And although Melian was a Maiar, so immortal and powerful, Galadriel was also immortal and powerful. After the long-dead Feanor, she was the most powerful of the Noldor elves, who were themselves, in the main, the most powerful elves in Middle-earth, having been raised in the light of Valinor. And she had the Ring of Power Nenya, which will definitely have preserved her power while others' strength waned, and given her extra power too. So strong are her defences against Sauron that Galadriel says to Frodo that he gropes ever to see me and my thought, but still the door is closed. Whereas she can apparently perceive the Dark Lord and know his mind, or all of his mind that concerns the elves. This is quite the boast. Sauron is striving to see her, but can't. But she knows all of his mind concerning elves. However you interpret Galadriel's defence of Lothlórien, it is clear that it is strong, and it is dependent on her and the Ring of Power she bears, for without that, everything would fall. So, a lot of her power is focused on protecting her people, but that's not to say that she never leaves home. She did leave to take part in White Council meetings of the Wise. It was she who summoned the first White Council, for instance, and notably, she also personally took part in the assault on Sauron's base at Dol Guldur around the time of the quest for Erebor. We don't know if it happened exactly like what we saw in the Hobbit movie, The Battle of the Five Armies, but we do know that Galadriel was a part of the attack. The other thing that Galadriel did in the build-up to The Lord of the Rings was less martial, but no less important. Arwen came to visit her in Lothlórien, and there, under Galadriel's care, Arwen and Aragorn fell in love and pledged themselves to each other. Given her later actions and lack of objection at the time, this union had Galadriel's blessing as Arwen's grandmother. But we first meet her, of course, when the Fellowship does. She had been expecting the party. News had come already from Rivendell that they were heading that way, and they knew to expect 9, including Gandalf, but Gandalf obviously didn't make it that far. Whereas all the elves seemed in anguish at this news, Galadriel seems to hold back a bit, counselling that Gandalf was never rash, and none of his followers knew his full plans. Reading between the lines, Everyone else there seemed to assume that Gandalf was dead, whereas Galadriel wasn't so sure. And to be fair, she was right. He was still alive and battling the Balrog at this point, and he would, of course, return. But his absence was clearly a blow. She had eagerly wanted to talk to him. Perhaps that is why she felt the need to read the minds of the Fellowship, because most of them didn't like it, and Tolkien elsewhere makes it clear that doing that uninvited was not a good thing in his book. But this party was on the single most important mission of the Third Age, and without their wise guide, could she trust them? She knew Aragorn, of course, and Legolas at least by reputation, but the rest, no. The intent appears to have been to weigh each member of the Fellowship's commitment to seeing the quest through, tempting Sam with the alternative of instead going back to the Shire and tending his garden, for example. Intriguingly, Boromir seems to have been the one who objected most strongly to this, and in his words, refused to listen to her. We're left to wonder whether he mentally blocked her telepathic probings, she backed off, and that's why she couldn't see what lurked in his heart, or she did see it and decided not to say anything. In any event, Frodo and Sam clearly pass her test, for she treats the two of them to a trip to the Mirror of Galadriel. Again, she insists that this isn't advice or guidance, but she does tell Frodo that he may learn something if he looks into the mirror, and it may be useful, and she wouldn't have brought him there if she didn't think he had courage and wisdom enough to use it. So, technically not advice, but instead giving him knowledge that he may find useful. In practice, the most memorable thing that Frodo saw was the full terror and horror of the Eye of Sauron itself. This will surely have played into his certainty to keep moving ahead to destroy the ring when he had moments of doubt or choice later. But then comes the highlight of this whole story for Galadriel. Hers is a long story that deserves a video on its own, but at its heart lies her struggle with her lust for power. Back in Valinor, she had eagerly desired to rule over lands and peoples of her own in Middle-earth. The word Tolkien uses the most to describe her then is proud. By the end of the Third Age, she has grown a lot and has that land and people to rule over. But then Frodo offers her the ring. The ring would give her even more. All she had eagerly desired. She admits as much straight away. I do not deny that my heart has greatly desired to ask what you offer. For many long years I had pondered what I might do should the great ring come into my hands. We get that great speech then, where she knows what that temptation is to her. In place of the Dark Lord you will set up a queen, and I shall not be dark, but beautiful and terrible as the morning and the night, fair as the sea and the sun and the snow upon the mountain, dreadful as the storm and the lightning, stronger than the foundations of the earth, all shall love me and despair. And then finally, as the moment passes and she realizes that she has the willpower to say no, she concludes with the simple, I pass the test. I will diminish and go into the West and remain Galadriel. It's a wonderful moment. And when we think of the Lord of the Rings from Galadriel's perspective, this resistance to temptation is the high point. Afterwards, there are the gifts, which are from Celeborn as well as Galadriel. It has to be said that even the most basic of these is incredibly useful. The boats kept them safely away from marauding orcs for many miles of their journey and allowed Frodo and Sam to make it to the other side. The lembas kept them alive when they ran out of all other food. The cloaks kept them hidden from enemies, and Sam uses the rope to great effect in Mordor. The personal gifts are also exceptionally useful or meaningful. To pull out a couple of examples, Legolas gets a bow so amazing he uses it later to shoot down one of those fell beasts that the Nazgul rode at such a distance that the rest of the party could barely even see exactly what it was. Sam gets the soil that he uses to bring the Shire back to life after its scouring, and Frodo gets the Phial of Galadriel, which is used to great effect against Shelob. It seems clear that these gifts are not just thoughtful, but contain some degree of foresight. Gifts intended to be used to help the Fellowship with the tasks before them. Galadriel's last words to Frodo are even an exhortation not to forget the phial when everything was at its darkest, a far cry from her plan to not guide or counsel them in any way, which makes me wonder whether something had changed in Galadriel during those few days. We talked about how important Galadriel's moment of temptation about taking the ring was, Later, as they were saying their farewells, Frodo notes that she seemed different, less perilous and terrible somehow. Yes, Galadriel had changed and had decided to be more proactively helpful. And that's where the story leaves Galadriel, as she bids farewell to the Fellowship. She stays for the rest of the time in Lothlorien, but behind the scenes, she still plays an important role. In fact, the very next day, Gwaihir the Eagle arrives in Lothlorien, bearing the body of Gandalf, newly brought back to life and sent back to Middle-earth. Gwaihir went there to the top of the mountain where Gandalf lay, at the command or request of Galadriel. Tolkien never completely explained the iteration of events here. Did Galadriel know that Gandalf was back? They did have a strong telepathic link, after all. Had she seen something in her mirror, or was she just following a hunch? If she did know, or suspect that he was alive, why not stop the Fellowship from leaving until Gwaihir returned? Did she sense that perhaps the Fellowship had to go on without Gandalf, or else their task would be failed? There are a lot of questions. What we do know is that she then nurses him back to health over the following days, and a couple of weeks later, he shows up again in Fangorn Forest as Gandalf the White, meeting Aragorn, Legolas, and Gimli. He is a little confused or vague about such details as exactly how long he had been in Fangorn or even what his name was, but still, Galadriel seems to have done an amazing job with someone who had been at Death's Door just a fortnight earlier. And Galadriel sent messages with Gandalf for the three hunters. Aragorn's was largely prophetic, about the grey company of northern rangers riding south to him, and about him needing to go through the paths of the dead. Legolas's was a warning that when he heard the sound of a seagull, he would get the sea longing that lay dormant in elves, making him want to sail west rather than stay in Middle-earth. And Gimli's was a message of encouragement for her unlikely champion, and a gentle warning not to chop down the wrong trees. Good advice in Fangorn Forest. And then, 10 days later, Lothlorien came under attack from orcs. We tend not to think about it much, as the main action by that point had moved down to Minas Tirith and Mordor, but these were full-scale assaults, three of them, one after another, and they were mostly repulsed by Galadriel's magic and that of her Ring of Power. Once the One Ring had been destroyed, however, the elves could go on the offensive. Celeborn led the elves in an attack on Dol Guldur, and Galadriel cast down its walls and purified it of evil. But of course, as she had foreseen, the destruction of the ring meant that her Ring of Power lost its power, and her protection and preservation of Lothlorien waned. Her drive to rule lands of her own also seems to wane. She attended the wedding of Aragorn and Arwen before returning to Lothlorien for her final farewells. 2 years later, diminished, she headed into the west, sailing for Valinor with the other ring-bearers, Gandalf, Elrond, Bilbo, and Frodo. This is a bittersweet end for Galadriel. Her character growth through her time in Middle-earth is immense. Finally, she is ready to return to Valinor, and finally the Valar are ready to accept her. There she would be reunited with Celebrian, her daughter, and the family she had left behind, and in time joined by Celeborn, her husband, and Gimli, her champion, for the last beats of his life. The events of The Lord of the Rings were tumultuous for the entire continent, but for Galadriel, who had lived through three tumultuous ages of Middle-earth, they also marked the end of a long period of growth. She no longer hungered to lead and rule and be powerful. She was content to just be Galadriel, to be herself. And I suppose that's all any of us should truly aspire to be, true to ourselves. If you'd like to see more Lord of the Rings videos, please click on the link on the left of your screen. Or if you'd like to support this channel, thank you. There's a link to my Patreon page on the right of your screen. That's all for this time. Thanks for watching. I'll see you again soon.